evening and welcome to Out of Bounds. I'm Tish Perlman. My guests are community activists Pat Pryor and Mika Corazon. Welcome to Out of Bounds.
Thank you. Thank you, Tish.
Thanks very much, Tish.
Now, tonight we're going to talk about some, we're going to actually focus on some issues that are important to the LGBT community. And I want to begin with the LGBT Democratic Club that you guys are forming. Tell us about that.
Well, it's been a very exciting period of time, I think, to be an activist around lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issues. There's always a need for activism around these issues. And recently, with a lot of the things that have been happening politically on the national scene and the state scene, it seems that that this community has really become re-energized. Tompkins County has had a long history of activism around LGBT issues. And I think the importance of some of the things that are happening now have really brought together a core group of people who have said, we need to be able to add our voices. We need to be able to put our efforts in behind candidates who will support our issues. I know that working with Mika has really been a tremendous experience, and with the other people on our core committee. And maybe I'll let Mika tell a little bit about how she came to be part of the group.
Before you do, I wanted to ask you, is this going to be a county Democratic Club, or is it just going to be the city of Ithaca?
It's going to be a county Democratic Club. Yes, okay. We've been very clear about that.
So. Okay. Well, our official name is the LGBT Democratic Club of Tompkins County,
right.
Or the LGBT Dems at some point, because that's a long name. But we are really looking at focusing on LGBT issues in our county. All of us on the coordinating committee are very active people in our community, and there's a wealth of LGBT resources in this community, in this county. People who bring in arts and creativity and politics and science, people who teach at the different colleges around here. And so this is a way of bringing together and focusing our energies because we are feeling that the last election used us as scapegoats.
Mm-hmm.
The Republicans used us to scare people about LGBT issues, specifically gay marriage.
Yeah.
And
we are going to talk about that a little
great.
Later.
Great, okay, we will.
Yeah. But you know what? I've spoken to quite a few people about the fact that this club is being formed, and people have said, why in this progressive community where you do, there's a Democratic stronghold in most of the communities here, and they are supportive. So why, what's the need?
Well, that's probably exactly one of the reasons why I think we're going to be able to do this here. We actually, one way of illustrating why this is a good place to do this is the fact that we actually had people attend our first meeting from as far away as Pennsylvania, because in some communities, LGBT folks are feeling so isolated and feeling like they have no group to connect to, that where we do have a stronghold, which we do here in Tompkins County, I agree with that totally.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we are in a great position to be able to lend our weight by coming together locally to not only whatever might need to be done here on the local scene, but also to events that are happening at the state and the national level. We are considering, as we go along, affiliating with the National Stonewall Democrats, who have become a very important and powerful voice nationwide around gay and lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues. And so I think when you have to have a critical mass of energy in order to be able to do something politically. And I think the fact that we have a strong and supportive community here will allow us to do that. And you know, this is not nirvana. In spite of the fact that we do have a very, I think, very supportive and good community, we've got a lot of support from our local Democratic Party. That doesn't mean that there aren't issues right here in Tompkins County that may arise from time to time that we need to address. But it's partly because of that history of strong activism that we feel we can do this. I know many people who have been here a while will remember that for a while the Pride Agenda was very active here in Tompkins County.
Mm-hmm.
Then they reorganized and they focused their efforts differently. We no longer have a Pride Agenda organizer. There was a period of time when we consistently, year after year after year, were able to marshal a lot of financial resources to work on statewide LGBT issues through our contributions to the Pride Agenda, and I'm talking tens of thousands of dollars.
Well, what happened to the Pride Agenda here?
The Pride Agenda has focused their efforts more on lobbying in Albany rather than on community organizing. They're still there. They're still doing a lot of good work. Their offices are now located in Albany and in New York City. We still continue to have, some of us anyway, to have regular contact with them, but they're not doing the local community organizing that they used to do. So they're, I know, as you say, a lot of people have asked me the same question, why, when we have it as good as we do here in Tompkins County, why do we need this? I've had the same number of people say to me, gee, isn't it too bad we don't still do things to stay visible, that why aren't we more active politically? We need, people are feeling a gap and feeling that there needs to be a political organization to fill that gap. We have a great organization here in Tompkins County for educational purposes, and that's very important too with the task force. But there are a lot of people who feel the need to be involved politically.
And do you think it's wise to be affiliated with the Democratic Party, as opposed to like a gay and lesbian alliance that could be political? I belong to one in San Luis Obispo, California. Actually, we started one. And we did the same sorts of things, but we weren't tied to a specific party. What would be the reasons for being tied to the Democratic Party specifically, rather than independent?
Well, I think that there are good arguments on both sides. And I do think that in a lot of communities, people do decide to be independent of the Democratic Party, at least here locally to begin with. Those of us who had the energy to come together and start this see party building as part of our purpose and working within the Democratic Party as part of what we want to do. I think all of those are issues that will ultimately be decided by the group itself. I want to make really clear that those of us that have been working on it are only going to be bringing recommendations back to the larger group. So I think that's actually, for me, it's not an open question at this point in time, but I think as we evolve and as we work through some of the issues, that will be an issue we'll continue to come back to.
Yeah.
Another issue is the people that have taken leadership to formulate this club are all dyed-in-the-wool Democrats, and that's where our politics are. Mm-hmm. And we really feel that we need to have a place. It's also a place where we can negotiate for power in terms of elections, because, you know, even though some of us may agree with the politics of other smaller groups, the Democrats and the Republicans, that's it. That's where the party, you know, that's where the parties are struggling. And so some of us actually want to take back the Democratic Party for progressive people.
I can understand that. I wanted to read you a quote that I heard recently, and I'll tell you afterwards who said this. "I can't stand my party right now. They offend me. I have no interest in the majority of the Democratic Party that becomes Republican light." Gavin Newsom said that at a talk at Harvard. Mm-hmm. And Gavin Newsom, as most of our listeners know, was the mayor of San Francisco who started this gay marriage issue by letting people get married at City Hall in San Francisco.
Right.
So there is some discontent with the Democratic Party among many people, but you think you can still work with them and still be empowered?
Well, we're working on a local level to begin with, and we have a lot of respect for the local Dems, and we feel, and we have tremendous allies in this town. As Pat said,
when
the Pride Agenda, we would have our brunch, all of our allies and our friends would come out, and so we feel quite supported. So this is our strong base, and we can work from this. And as Pat said, at our first general meeting, we had people from surrounding areas, surrounding counties, who were asking us to start a Finger Lakes LGBT Dems. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, we can't really, you know, spread our energies out so far. Let's start here and maybe help other people start their own groups.
Yeah, I could see affiliations coming from that. Will you take issues from your LGBT club probably and bring them to the wider Democratic body for endorsements and to empower even more with numbers?
Oh, absolutely. I look forward to being able to do that, and I think that along with whatever the downsides are of operating within one of the major political parties, one of the upsides will be that if we, to the degree that we are able to influence the party policy, be it locally or statewide or nationally, we will be able to add the strength of that body to our issues. So, yes, definitely. That's one of the things we want to do.
And you do plan to endorse candidates. Are you going to groom people for office as well and help people in that arena?
Well, that's an interesting question. I suspect that as we go along, we will. We're still very much in the formative stages, but certainly if we're going to want to endorse candidates, that would be a logical thing for us to start doing. I don't know.
Michaela, do you have anything to add?
Well, I think that Pat, in her own way, already does that. I think people look to Pat when they're thinking of running for office. I've already seen it happen with people who have declared candidacy for Common Council and for the state ledge, and they go to Pat and they say, Pat, how do we do this? What are the inner workings? Because Pat has been a groundbreaker, and so because she is so out and she is so well spoken and she is such an activist, people come to her and say, what do I need to do? Because I want to make a difference and I want to run for office. So it's already happening on a microcosmic level.
And another thing I want to ask you, when I was living in San Francisco, there were a lot of people, because San Francisco has the Castro and a few sections of the city that are they're mainly gay and lesbian and so on, and people feel safe there. Do you ever feel like breaking away like this is going to make you ghettoized? A lot of people were concerned about that issue of breaking away and becoming just a little ghetto unto yourself.
Breaking away from?
From whatever, the community and only having a little safe place in this little corner or this little club. Do you feel that at all, or is that not an issue?
I don't feel any sense of breaking away.
Ah.
And so I'm not sure. I'm trying to put myself in that mindset in order to answer your question, but I'm having a hard time being there. I think that in this community, and we've had this conversation among my friends in many different contexts, the LGBT community, first of all, is big enough here in Tompkins County.
How big is it? Do you know? You have any
Who
idea?
Who knows? I haven't a clue.
You don't know.
But enough that you feel a sense of a critical mass, which allows us to recognize each other as we walk mm-hmm. around the community, to have many small friendship groups among a much larger community group. And we are in many ways very well integrated into many walks of life, mm-hmm. whether it be our colleagues at work, our straight colleagues, our allies in many different walks of life, so that I find it hard to imagine that we would become or be looked at as a breakaway group mm-hmm. because the LGBT community itself here is so much a part of the fabric of life in Tompkins County.
Mm-hmm. Well, and also we talked about this at the first general meeting, and so many people express the desire to work in coalition with other groups. With other groups and other issues around racism and sexism and gender parity issues. And because so many of us come from other races and cultures and ethnicities and places in life, mm-hmm. You know, my family is from Puerto Rico, and so the issues that are important to Latinos are very important to me, and I would see myself working in coalition with local groups around specific issues. So I think we're coming from a place of strength. We say, here we are, and we're gay, and we're lesbian, and we're bisexual, and we're transgender, and we are coming together as a power base, and yes, we're going to lend our power to other issues that are around social justice issues.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the criterion going to be for somebody to be able to join this club? Are you going to have memberships?
We will have memberships. At least that's what we're proposing. We actually have some proposed bylaws, which we'll be looking at our next meeting. So I don't want to make statements that are too definitive because the group hasn't adopted these yet. But what we are looking at is a membership that would say that you are generally in support of the goals of the group and supportive. You would have to be a registered Democrat to be part of the group mm-hmm. and pay membership dues. And that's it, basically.
Mm-hmm. And do you see the organization breaking off and starting little task forces? For instance, in San Francisco, the gay clubs were so male dominated in the early 80s, when I was there at least, that we had to start a lesbian caucus mm-hmm. to have our voices heard. So can you foresee a transgender caucus or something? People who might be coming into the club in smaller numbers?
That's very possible. I mean, right now, in terms of the coordinating committee, it's mostly female at this point. We have some really great men working with us, but actually, the energy is more feminine at this point.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's not so unusual considering the demographics of the LGBT community in this area, where it's really a lot of lesbians mm-hmm. and women who have come here to be together and be in a couple and raise families. That's part of why my partner and I came out here from California, because it was so lesbian friendly. My lament is that I don't know enough gay men anymore.
I agree. It's true. Yeah. I see more lesbians in this town and have since I started, you know, since I came here 5 years ago.
It was interesting because we had several models of bylaws that we were looking at in terms of creating our own bylaws, and one of them was from San Diego Stonewall Democrats. Mm-hmm. And they had a lot of, it was clear that their bylaws were meant to include the idea that caucuses would break off around particular issues. And as we went through and were working with those bylaws, we thought about our own community and said, you know, this is much more complex than we need here. There may come a time when we need to, you know, allow somehow for an ad hoc committee to form which would focus on a particular issue, but we don't really, at this point in time, see the need to create a structure that accommodates that mm-hmm. until the need arises. So,
you are listening to Out of Bounds on WEOS. I'm Tish Perlman, and my guests are Pat Pryor and Mika Corazon. You know what? I want to move on to the issue of gay marriage, if I might. Could you give us an update about what's happening here in our little county as well as in New York?
Well, we can, sure, we can see what we can do. First of all, I wonder if you'd allow me to reframe the issue. Instead of talking about gay marriage, could we talk about marriage equality?
Oh, very good.
Okay.
Absolutely.
When I think about the issues that come up when talking about whether or not same-sex couples should be able to marry, for me, the issue is one of equality. It's not a question of gay marriage versus any other kind of marriage. It's a question of whether or not all people who live here in the United States should have an equal opportunity to participate in an institution which is so much a part of the fabric of our culture. And to exclude people simply because they are romantically attracted to someone of the same sex to me, seems to me to be one of the most heinous forms of discrimination, and one which we should have long ago gotten rid of. Now, that's simplistic, I realize.
mm-hmm.
And I realize there are a lot of other factors involved. We do have a very active group here in Ithaca that has brought suit. Mm-hmm. Where mm-hmm. They call themselves the Ithaca 50. Mm-hmm. And they are challenging the refusal of the health department to grant marriage licenses. That case is wending its way through the court system, along with several other cases from around the state. Ultimately, we don't know for sure what's going to happen. There's been a favorable decision out of New York City. There's been an unfavorable decision, and ultimately the Court of Appeals, which is the highest court in New York State, may decide to combine all of these cases. It would be reasonable to think that they would. The other thing that the Court of Appeals might do, rather than making the decision themselves, they could pass the buck to the legislature. And they could say to the legislature, we want you to make a decision about this and tell us how marriage should be viewed in New York State.
That'll be stuck somewhere for 40 years if it goes to the legislature, don't you think?
Well, it's hard to say. I think it's one of the things that we're watching very, very carefully, because at this point in time, the political climate seems to be that neither the Democrats nor the Republicans really want to take this on as an issue. The people who are opposed to marriage equality would like to see the state pass a Defense of Marriage Act, mm-hmm. similar to the federal mm-hmm. Defense of Marriage Act. As long as we are able to keep that question from coming to the floor of the legislature for an up or down vote, it's better for our community, I believe, at this point.
Well, what do you say to people who say, what's wrong with just domestic partnerships? Why do you have to have this marriage business come into it?
It's like Plessy versus Ferguson, separate but equal. That doesn't work in this country. We all have to have the same access. My partner and I chose not to become part of the Ithaca 50 because we thought that in the future there may be a need to go another route. Eliot Spitzer has said that he would recognize marriages, legal marriages, from other places like Canada. Mm. So there are other, you know, there are many different ways and to approach this marriage equality, marriage parity issue, and that may be another one. But I just want to say that this has become an ideological kind of herring for between the Democrats and the Republicans, because corporate America is actually, especially the Fortune 500 companies, are already offering domestic partnership parity, because mm-hmm. they're realizing it's good for business. Mm-hmm. You have good employees, you want to keep them happy, you want to offer them the same benefits you offer all employees. So there's actually a consortium of Fortune 500 companies working for marriage equality.
That's very interesting. Why do you think this issue is suddenly so important? I mean, it's been spoken about in the communities for many, many years, but now it's really become the most important issue, it seems.
Well, I think that there was a convergence of events that happened prior to the last election, including the marriages that were performed out in San Francisco, which ignited an undercurrent of desire for equal treatment in the LGBT community that has been there and been longstanding. And in some ways, I think of it as back during the early days of the civil rights movement when, people just said, we're not going to take it anymore. We've had enough. Someone gave us a taste of what it would be like to be able to be married. People stood on the steps in San Francisco and received marriage licenses. And that sort of underlying desire for equal treatment just broke out all over the country. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we were in the middle of a presidential campaign. And this was seized upon by the Republican Party as a way to attack Democrats, to attack progressives. So it became a campaign issue. Mm-hmm. So I think it was that convergence of timing around those events that sort of brought it into the spotlight. I think in addition to talking about discrimination, our country really does need to look at the fact that there are over 1,100 different rights and benefits and responsibilities that come along with marriage that are not available to people who can't get married. I have good friends right here in this community. As one example, a lesbian couple I know, and one of the partners is seriously ill, and her partner, who works in public employment, would like to be able to take time off to be with her. And unfortunately, she's not able to take advantage of the federal Family and Medical Leave Act benefits in order to be with her partner, who's very seriously ill. Now, this is a couple who have lived together for many, many, many years. They own a home. They've raised a family. They've been a stable part of the community. They have both worked and made huge contributions. And yeah, if this one particular very painful, very much a crisis time in their lives, they are not able to take advantage of a federal benefit that any other married couple would be able to take advantage of. Mm-hmm. That's just one example mm-hmm. of why we need equal treatment.
Well, Tish, I also want to say that Pat spoke about critical mass before. I think we've come to critical mass also in our aging process. I'm in my 40s. My peers, we have come together to settle down and have families. And I think that was something that was not a usual case when I was when I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. So all of these couples are coming together, same-sex couples are saying, we have a family, we have to protect our families. And how painful it is for one parent to have to adopt the birth child of the other, and to legitimize their families in that way. So I think the critical mass has also come up because we want to have families, mm-hmm. and we want to protect our families.
And there has been a baby boom.
Yes, there
Let's
has.
Face it, there has been a baby boom in the LGBT community.
Yes, there has.
And
at the other end of the spectrum, we have people. We have really the first generation, I think, of LGBT folks who are aging and are facing end-of-life issues as out LGBT folks, and probably the generation before my generation certainly was much more closeted than many of the people
yes.
in my age group. Mm-hmm. And as we come to face, a lot of those rights and benefits apply to death and dying and survivor benefits and those kinds of things. So I think for those of us who have come up through a movement and have lived through a period of time when we've been very open and very out in our communities, we are now in a very real way running up against those barriers. So I think that that's contributing
that's
also
right.
to the energy.
Do you think this gay marriage issue has taken a lot of important other important issues off the table for LGBT people? Is anything being neglected because this has become the focus?
Well, probably in many ways almost any of the other issues that you would want to. I don't know whether you want to mention a specific issue, but
well, I was thinking about AIDS and, you know, even the okay. rights of women to the adoption issue yes. and so on and so forth.
In many cases, those issues do in some way relate to marriage. Now, when you talk about the necessity for focus on prevention of disease, AIDS, I do think that that's true. I think that it's been very convenient for the Republican administration that the attention has been on other things so that they could focus less on AIDS.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After the election, there were people who said that this gay marriage issue was the reason why John Kerry lost. And even Barney Frank, Senator Barney Frank, said that he didn't think this issue should have been so forwardly put on the table during an election year. What do you say to that?
Well, to me, this is an example of a time in history when it wasn't the leaders who put this issue on the table. You know, if it had been the Stonewall Democrats that had stepped forward and said, we want gay marriage, or if it had been the Pride Agenda or the Lambda Legal or some other group that had stepped out there and said, we're going to make this the major issue of the campaign, I think that could be a legitimate argument. But this was a spontaneous movement all across the country. And when you have a group of people that are rising up and saying, we want equal rights, it really, timing almost doesn't matter because you're tapping into such mm-hmm. strong emotions
That's right.
around equality and around equal treatment. I'm reminded of a time, I can't quote exactly, but Gandhi at one point was being interviewed during a march when many of his people were walking and he was walking with them, and he stopped to give an interview. And at one point, he told the interviewer, you know, I really have to go now because my people are getting out ahead of me, and I'm their leader, so I need to be there. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling that this issue is very much the same. The people got out there, and whether or not it was the right mm-hmm. time, you know, when is the right time for equality?
How long should we wait?
Mm-hmm.
Is there dissent within the community about the issue of gay marriage? Are there people who are scoffing at it being such an upfront issue and they don't care that much and so on?
Well, definitely. I actually have some friends who are members of the Ithaca 50 who don't believe in marriage. They don't believe in the institution. They think it's a sexist institution, that it has never been profitable or helpful for women. Mm-hmm. But they are there because they are a committed couple. They have a child together. They want to... They, you know, it's almost as if they say, well, this is what we're fighting for, and we're fighting for, as Pat says, parity with other couples who have access to this, to these rights and responsibilities, and we don't. And, you know, we're solid citizens. We have jobs. We pay our taxes. We own a home. We're raising a child with values that we believe in. So we're left out. Mm-hmm. And, so, and that argument is, I mean, it's just like the argument about the don't ask, don't tell in the military. Mm-hmm. So many of us are opposed to war and to the military. Mm-hmm. And yet we say those who choose to serve are penalized, are oppressed, are beaten up, are killed within the ranks. So what we're saying is we need to have access, equal access to all that's out there that's available to all other Americans.
I think it's not dissimilar either from some of the arguments around abortion. Whether or not I might personally choose to have an abortion has nothing to do with my feeling that it's a right that every woman should have. And I feel this way about marriage also. If it's a right that other people have, then everybody should have it.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Tish.
Thank you. Out of Bounds is produced by Tim Reppert at Rep Studio in Ithaca. We're sponsored by the Women's Interfaith Institute in Seneca Falls. Our theme music was composed by Diego Vega. If you want to talk to us, you can email us at weos@hws.edu. We'll be back next week. I'm Tish Perlman.